I'm with Jerry Garcia in his dressing room, and he will be on very shortly. Jerry Garcia and friends, been a long time.
It's just good to see you.
Mighty nice to be here. Mighty nice to be here on the radio, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, you're an incredible guy. I just want to start off like this, because with all the history of the Grateful Dead and all the musical avenues that the Dead has explored, you also work with Merle Saunders and with the bluegrass thing, Olden in the Way. And do you find that that is what you need to keep stretching musically? Or?
Well, it's just that I have a lot of different interests, and any one thing might not take up... if I have space, for example, when the Grateful Dead, when we were touring, there would be times when we would be, for example, on the road for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then off the road for 2 or 3 weeks. During that 2 or 3 week interim period, I would usually want to play some, you know, play music somehow, and obviously the Grateful Dead can't go and play in clubs without causing some kind of amazing commotion. And so I started taking up my time about... Well, 4 or 5 years ago, jamming on Monday nights at the Matrix, and started playing with Howard Wales, and then and later Merle, and John Conn played bass and stuff like that. But it started to be a more or less regular thing, and I just got into feeling that, yeah, when I'm not working, if I'm not on the road or touring or something like that, there's still a lot of room for me to play and reach, you know, out to, you know, learn in a learning sort of situation and all that. Bluegrass music is something... It's a little different. It's something I've always loved, and mainly with bluegrass music, you sort of have to wait for an opportunity to present itself where there are musicians around that understand the music and play it really well. Mm-hmm. And Olden in the Way was a result of that kind of sort of a coincidence, where suddenly there was three or four of us around who knew the music and who enjoyed playing it, and so we started loosely just getting together and playing for fun, and then got to be more serious about it as time went on. But really, those things sort of happen accidentally in a way. I don't. You know.
Is that to detract from the Grateful Dead effort at all?
No, I don't think so. I think that it adds to it, just in terms of that each thing stays fresh if you're not doing it all the time. You know what I mean? You come back to it with new ideas and new influences and stuff like that.
One of the amazing things about you and with the Dead is for all the popularity, for all the record sales and concerts and everything like that, you've really stayed close to what you came from, and still with very much with the people and everybody in the Dead. I think you could say that for...
Yeah, that's really the best part about what we ever did. I mean, in terms of that was the best part. It was certainly relating to the people and relating to each other on a friendly basis and closely in a family sort of way. It's more rewarding to approach anything that way than it is to do it, you know, for success reasons or that sort of thing. You know, it just is better. It just feels better, and I think it produces better music too.
On the subject of success and commercialism and all of that, I mean, I don't know if the commercial success of the Dead was an accident or whether it was by design.
Well, it would never really happen. I mean, in terms of commercial success, in the sense of making a fortune or anything like that, we certainly never were that. And our effort has always been to sort of plow back the proceeds from our gigs back into expanding the quality level of the equipment and that sort of thing, in an effort to improve what we're doing. That's where it's really gone, in terms of the energy and the money that we've made, rather than distribute it to individual wealth, you know, that sort of thing. That's just been our focus, has been that way all along, and that seems to work out pretty well. It also seems to be most fair in the sense that fans or people who are coming to hear our music are in a way promoting and paying for, supporting the thing of making it better, which I think is fair, a good, you know, reciprocal, you know.
Well, you blazed into territory that most musicians fear to tread too when you started your own record company. Let me ask you now, how, in retrospect, do you think that was a good idea?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, for our heads, it certainly was a good idea. It hasn't been the world's most outrageously successful endeavor, but that's not the focus either. You know, again, that hasn't been the focus. Now that we're in the midst of a bone-crushing economic slump and all the rest of that stuff, we're scuffling just like everybody else is, basically. But we're determined, pretty much, you know, we're also expanding insanely enough in the face of catastrophe, so to speak, and now we're into movies and.
Oh really?
Yeah, we have a film company now that has two films. One of them is a film about the Hells Angels, the New York City chapter of the Hells Angels, that's being done by a guy named Leon Gast in New York City. It's a very fine movie. And the Grateful Dead film that we filmed our last five nights at Winterland there.
Tell me about the Angels one. You said it was a very funny movie.
It's good. It's I can't really tell you much about it. They've got millions of feet, but one notable episode was a time that Merle and I and Bill Kreutzmann and John Kahn played for the Hells Angels for one of their parties, where they rented sort of a ferry boat, the kind that go around Manhattan, you know. They rented a ferry boat, and they had this blowout for all these Hells Angels who came from all over the United States, plus all kinds of New York, you know, weirdos and stuff like that, you know. And this we played on this boat, on the top deck of the boat, underneath the Brooklyn Bridge, and went around the island a few times. The Jolly Roger was flying, you know, and we played out by the Statue of Liberty with all these crazy Hells Angels and all this stuff, and they were filming it from all over, from perspective points like the tops of buildings, you know, in New York, looking down those long canyons, and you'd see this ferry boat go by with the Jolly Roger, you know, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of arresting or striking visual stuff in the movie. I don't know how it's going now. They're editing it, cutting it now, and everything. But everything that I've seen, the rushes and everything, are amazing. Really amazing.
You're going to. This is something that'll be in general distribution, or yeah. You think you'll show it yourselves?
Or? That'll be in general distribution, I think.
That's still in the I think stage.
Oh yeah, everything is in the I think stage.
Jerry, tell me about the musicians you're going to play with today. All we know is it's Jerry Garcia and friends.
Well, it's the Grateful Dead, really, in an expanded version of the Grateful Dead. It's the Grateful Dead, sort of like the old Grateful Dead. Two drummers, Mickey and Bill, are playing. And Bobby Weir, and me and Phil, and Keith. So that's the nucleus, Grateful Dead. And then Merle Saunders is playing, and Ned Lajan, who's the guy that Phil's been working with a lot. So three keyboards. And David Crosby is sitting in too on rhythm guitar. So
David Crosby.
Yeah, right. So we've got a nine-piece band, basically. Three guitars, three keyboards, two drums and bass.
Oh, that's a symphony orchestra, haven't
you? Almost. You know, we've got a thing worked out that's more or less specially for this, you know. We've done something that we haven't done before. We won't play any of our old material or you know, any of that. And we're approaching this freshly. And that's part of the reason we stopped performing, was an effort to pursue completely new ideas and sort of shake loose the past in terms of musical stuff, you know. It'll be interesting. I can't wait to see how it turns out.
Well, have you sung with David before?
Yeah, we've rehearsed a little. Actually, this thing only will have a little bit of vocal. It'll be more an instrumental piece, and it has a little bit of vocal stuff in it, and then maybe we'll do some song if the time allows. But it's a piece just designed to cover the amount of time that we're allotted on the program. It'll be a good flash for us all.
Oh, that sounds great. Jerry, thanks so much for talking with us, and I know it's going to be a good show.
I hope so.
Oh, before we end, I wanted to ask you a little bit about the main reasons that we're all here, and that is the snack benefit.
Yeah.
There's been some recent confusion. You got any thoughts
sure
on that?
Has. Well, I don't know. I mean, I could say that, you know, there's blundering fools in City Hall have put us all through a lot of changes for no good reason, but. The way I understand it is the budget is skimpy regardless. Even if they have discovered an extra couple of $1 million, that is probably won't stretch very far, knowing that mismanagement is rife, you know. And my reasons for getting into it, or one of the reasons I agreed to do it, was just because I'm from here and I went to school in San Francisco. Not that I could say that I greatly benefited from the sports program or anything like that, but I'm sort of more interested in other kinds of extracurricular things that this money would also have to do with, the music stuff and that sort of thing.
You talk about mismanagement, and there hasn't there been a rock band in the world that's laid aside $2.1 million and forgotten about.
Right, that's right, that's for sure. You know, we're a penny-pinching fool when it comes to that.
Okay, thanks a whole lot, Jerry. See you on the stage in a few minutes.